numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten on the World Series and National Football League from under a cloud of smoke, and Todd Wishnev and Steve Fezzik on the resolution of their weight loss challenge bet. We'll also get NFL thoughts from them, but the whole weight loss challenge, how they feel about it, how it wrapped up, the aftermath, it's coming up on the show. But ladies and gentlemen, massive breaking news right at this moment, and news, quite frankly, that is borderline making me weep. Weep with joy. Do you know what I'm talking about, Kelly? You have any idea what
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Thank you, Isaiah Von Wrinkle downstairs, for pointing this out. Forbes magazine is reporting that Dan Snyder has hired Bank of America to sell the Washington Commanders. Chas v'chalila that this should happen. Sorry, I had to go Arabic on y'all. Here it is. Dan Snyder has retained B of A Securities to sell the Washington Commanders, sources tell Forbes. According to someone familiar with the process, Snyder already has at least four calls from groups interested in buying the team. Snyder and his bankers are exploring all options. And here's where the article starts to fade because I don't subscribe to Forbes, Kelly.
So it goes,
transaction could be for the entire NFL team. And that's all I got. Let me just tell you this, and I'm going to bring in Pritch for this. Mike Pritchard, ladies and gentlemen, at M.I. Pritchard on Twitter, VSiN Zone. Mike Pritchard, of course, national champion of Colorado, and of course, first-round NFL draft pick. I used to say this about Steve Spurrier when he took over as coach of the team, but I can apply it to Daniel Snyder as well. What I used to say was that Steve Spurrier took the love of your life, which the Washington football team was for me, and kidnapped it, and you were required to watch horrific things done to it for 2 years, and then he gave it back to you damaged. This is exactly what happened with it. There are generations of Washingtonians, and I'm gonna go off here for a second, Mike, so forgive me, but there's a generation of us who grew up in Washington, D.C., who nothing more mattered to us than this franchise. This franchise was beloved. Three Super Bowl wins under Joseph Jackson Gibbs. It's actually Joe Jackson Gibbs, not Joseph. And then it was, you know, and then the Cook family, Jack Ken Cook didn't will it away to his family in a very good way. And so they had to get rid of it. I won't get into the finances. And then here comes this little pisher because the learners didn't get it. And so he just absolutely set a bomb to this franchise from day one. Couldn't have been worse. And now finally, our national nightmare for all of us who grew up on this franchise might be over, Mike. Can you just speak to, because trust me, every good, bad organization starts at the top. Can you speak to what this could do for a franchise like this?
Oh, I think it will re-energize the National Football League as a whole, not just the franchise, Gil. You're right. The Washington franchise has been a pillar franchise in the National Football League for decades, and we know that. And it's unfortunate what Daniel Snyder did to that franchise for decades, right? But I think the writing was on the wall when you heard influential owners speak up about Dan Snyder no longer being part of the NFL. And, you know, billionaires are calculated. We all know that. And when they feel the freedom to give remarks or comments in regards to, I think the future would be better without Dan Snyder. And I think Dan Snyder should sell the franchise. I mean, that pretty much is a precursor, I believe, for what is developing right now. But I am happy for you. I am happy for Washingtonians as well, because we want to see this franchise back on top in its right place as a pillar franchise in the league.
Because, and speaking on, I don't mean to speak on behalf of everyone, but if I represent that person, that franchise has gone from the thing that mattered most to us to, you know, the Caps are more popular. The Washington Capitals are more popular. I won't say the Wizards are, because that'd be crazy. But, you know, it just has fallen from grace. Everything has been botched. The name change was a joke. We waited 2 years for that. None of us, you know, will say the name of the team. Anyway, let me just ratchet this back 1 second because, you know, this is the farthest along. We flirted with this. Oh, will he sell? This is the furthest along we've ever gotten on this. The only thing that worries me with all megalomaniacs and with all people like him who derive all their self-worth from what he owns I just worry that in the moment of him just agreeing to finally sell this, which is what everybody in the National Football League and everybody in D.C. wants, I just worry that this guy, because of how we know he is in the final moment is going to say, you know what? In his head now, he's not going to say this out loud. My entire self-value is because I own this franchise. And the moment that I get rid of it, I become a nobody, despite all my billions. That's the only thing I worry about. So I won't believe it till it happens.
Yeah, I can understand being skeptical a little bit, but he's in a weak moment. He's in a weak position, Gil, because he's no longer really involved with the franchise. I mean, I think whether you want to call it a suspension or a timeout, a permanent timeout, I mean, the league has put him in the corner. So what's more embarrassing, to be in a corner and not be able to really run your franchise, or, you know what, the embarrassment is great enough, I need to go ahead and sell. I think he'll find some way to make noise, to be relevant in his head, right? Billionaires tend to do that. They'll find some way, whether it's another franchise or whether it's something else significant, to keep his name out there if he's driven by that ego, that type of ego.
Well, let him be relevant in his head. That would be pleasing to all of us. Right. Okay, NFL, let's get to it. And let's get to, you know, I was doing quarterback ratings yesterday, rankings. We usually rank teams, and I was doing quarterbacks yesterday. And it just, you know, it's so obvious that there's a handful. You can count the elite quarterbacks on one hand. Then there's sort of this group of guys who are playing well on good teams, like Tua, like Lamar, like Kirk Cousins, like Geno. Then I threw a sort of catch-all with Hall of Famers like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady in there, because you're like, you'll get in a fist fight, as Kelly said yesterday, arguing about those guys. So you just kind of have to throw them in the middle. Like, I'm sure they're still great, but they can't affect change on their team. And then it's just everybody else is subpar. There's a tier that's worse than the other in the subpar category. But we've never had this moment where, you know, the veterans can't save us from a class of young quarterbacks that just isn't getting it done. And so it makes betting that much more difficult. What are the things or the players or the teams or the coaches right now that you trust the most on a week-to-week basis?
You know, Gil, that's a great question, because I've been wanting to have this discussion since I stepped foot inside the VSiN studio. Because as a player, I know that the quarterback is the most dependent position on the field. The quarterback gets all the accolades, and certainly the quarterback gets all the blame if a team loses or if not playing well. And then in the betting world, the quarterback means so much to the number. And I'm like trying to figure this out, right? And I struggled, I think, for the initial 6 months of being in the betting world. But you're right. You look across the board, and there's just a handful of elite quarterbacks, but those elite quarterbacks aren't playing that well because the dependency around them isn't that great. And then you have people like Geno and people like Kirk that are enhanced with the skill set around them. And all of a sudden, now look at how they're winning football games. And so as a better, I want to still add value to the situation with quarterback and coach, but it's got to be right. Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett is not working. It's something you can't trust, even though that's a pretty good offensive coordinator, you would think. And that's a really good quarterback as well. Tom Brady and Leftwich, for whatever reason, they have not changed anything that they established last year, and teams have caught up to that. You know, Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur. I mean, I don't know if you can trust that just because of the supporting cast. I can trust creativity. I can trust coaches or play callers that understand what they have at that position. You know, Jalen Hurts, for instance, Josh Allen with Ken Dorsey, even without Daboll, they haven't lost a step. I believe Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, those are relationships you can trust, because those are relationships that are fostered and also developed, and also they grow, right? And so if you can look at that as a better and understand that the quarterback position is the most dependent position on the field, I think that could help you out as betting as a better as well.
Do you trust the Seahawks? Do you think they're a playoff team? And if they are a playoff team, can they win a playoff game?
I trust Pete Carroll and that culture. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if they have all the horses, you know, enough horses to make the run. Because now the league's about to get tough for a lot of teams, because you no longer have scheme. You got to line up and you got to have playmakers, which the Seattle Seahawks do. DK Metcalf and Lockett and Disley and Walker. I mean, he's incredible. Walker III. So I think they have enough frontline guys. Now, defensively, they're playing collective and they're playing aggressive and they're playing physical. And that's a recipe to get to the playoffs. In fact, that's a recipe to win the division. So I'm exploring that. I don't believe it right now, Gil, but I am exploring that possibility.
What do you like best as you look at the Week 9 slate? What sticks out to you?
The Seattle Seahawks on the road catching 2 points. I already played that game.
Me too.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you know, on the other side of it, maybe it's a play against too, but what Seattle has going for it, I'm not sure if the Cardinals want to get involved that way. You know, the Cardinals are, look, very, very skilled. Hopkins is incredible. Kyler Murray up and down. I think they have weapons, Ertz and all this stuff too. But in terms of being physical for 60 minutes, I don't know if that's their forte. Whereas I believe Pete Carroll has that going the right way that way up in Seattle.
That was the one game that stuck out to me on guessing lines. But it's a difficult week because now I'm having trouble beyond that one finding a second pick, finding a third pick. If I said to you, you must have a second pick, what would that be?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I guess if – that's a really good one, Gil.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
I think the under – like if you're looking for a teaser, teasing up the total on Thursday night and go under that, to pair that up if you like a teaser with Seattle. But a second game, maybe the under on Thursday night.
Okay. Eagles, Texans. Eagles favored by 2 touchdowns. Totals at 45 right now. Mike, sorry that the Dan Snyder news overran us, but could be a happy day for some of us. I appreciate it.
Yes, I appreciate you, Gil.
Thank you. Mike Pritchard, everybody, at MI Pritchard on Twitter, VEASAN's own. Coming back with Jason Weingarten on baseball and football. Ding dong, the witch might be dead. It's a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the numbers game live from the South Point Hotel Casino tip of the strip right here in lovely Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Angriest guy in New Jersey, Kelly. You ready for this? He says, do you know when the buy low mark is on Brooklyn? When they move back to Jersey. Pro tip. You have a, by the way, you have a basketball bet. We never got to it. What's your bet? What's your NBA bet?
I got two tonight. I got two tonight so far in the account. I did play the Pelicans laying 3 against the Lakers just like Will Hill did. I am on them. I mean, look, this is one of the best teams in the league to start the season in versus one of the worst teams. It is a real sharp handicap right there. New Orleans fourth in point differential so far in the season, and L.A. Lakers coming in at 26th in that category. And then I did play under on the Clippers-Rockets, a little bit smaller bet on this one, though. These two teams both struggling mightily offensively, both in the third worst in the league so far offensively. They did just play each other the other night. Gives me a little bit of concern that they just saw each other, but under 223.5, both teams struggling to find their offense, and the Clippers playing good defense out of the gates.
Playing good defense. Phil Weiss on Twitter at NoFilter37. It's not over, Gil. I heard Kanye West is the front runner to buy the Skins. Okay. Oh, yeah. Chance Copperpot. So if the taco holders are sold, do they get a new name? No more Commodores? Congrats to you and the commie fan base. Also, you got paywalled by Forbes.
My favorite part of it is just, I need to sell a football team. Who do I call? Bank of America? Yeah, BOA. Yeah. Sorry, I sent through your operator process. I don't need anything out of my checking account or anything. I need to sell a football team. Can you help me out with that?
Called his local branch.
Right. He walks into his local branch.
Can I speak with the teller? He's get rid of his team. Whew, billions. There's your consolation prize walking out the door. Ladies and gentlemen, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, at Spreadopedia, he's also the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Go Phillies.
Go Phillies. So you have a Phillies futures bet, right?
Yeah, and it's picking up value.
What did you get it at and when?
35-1, I think back in March.
And you are the first person to admit that of all your futures bets, this is the one you did not expect to get there.
No, it just sat in my accounts all year, overlooked, neglected, unloved, and
uncaressed.
Here it is at the end.
Here it is. Yeah, they're a -140 favorite now, roughly, right? Consensus to win the series at this point.
And I never added. That's the weird thing. You know, sometimes I'll add to positions throughout the season, but this one I didn't even touch.
And, like, and so let's never. Let's get into that. And why didn't you? Because you didn't believe?
They fired the manager, you know, just Bryce Harper tore his UCL. I bet some Bryce Harper MVP at like 30-1. I thought he was having a good season. It just the Mets, the Braves, they took all the attention away from Philadelphia and their roster.
Okay, so I'm gonna rehash this thing that I talked about when the postseason started and when the Mets were getting eliminated. And I just want to bring it up because I don't think I brought it up to you, and I'm curious how you feel about this. Because so every time the Phillies win, producer number 5 and 8 here on A Numbers Game, Jeff Parlay, who also hosts weekend shows here on the network, he always texts me and he goes, no one can like this, right? He's like, unless you're in Philly and in Houston, nobody can like this. And Jeff, and I kind of, listen, Jeff, I did this whole thing on it a couple weeks ago, which is why he's texting me about it. And my opinion is this. That when you have a league, when you have a league like baseball, Major League Baseball, where the chasm between the haves and the have-nots has gotten wider year after year. I've been saying that for 5 years on this show. The chasm between the haves and the have-nots are getting wider. So what does that mean? That means that teams that used to be the best teams in baseball, which would top out at 100 wins or 101 wins, and by the way, we showed the last 20 years of baseball here on the show. We ran a graphic. Those 100 and 100 wins teams now, the last three out of the last 4 years, one was the pandemic year, they're now winning 107 and 108 games. So everything I was saying about that chasm widening is manifested in the standings. You can't have a league where that is changing on the one end in your regular season, your 162-game regular season. You can't have that widening and then simultaneously having a postseason that is more random as the years go on by adding teams and by adding short series. What you are in, so now here's the thing. Does it make the playoffs less exciting? No. Does it make betting any less viable? No. But does it make your regular season that much more meaningless? And that's the only point I'm making. Is that a good long-term proposition for the sport?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
This year, I thought the season just dragged on too long this year. I don't know if cutting 2 weeks of games off or a month of games off the regular season is the right thing to do necessarily with records being what they are and, you know, us being, you know, very, you know, nobody likes to argue about different game lengths when it comes to records and stuff. But other than that, MLB's got to do something. I mean, I'd rather watch most, you know, college football games or NFL games when, you know, given the opportunity with a baseball, you know, baseball game competing against it. But expanded playoffs just, you know, produce more random results, and that benefits ownership and it keeps salaries down. And, you know, that's why we have expanded playoffs, is to you know,
right, because
create more randomness.
Right, and I've talked to a Major League Baseball player who says that all the players want the high payroll teams or the teams that do the best, the high payroll teams that win 107, 108, they want them to win because that would send the message to owners that paying players translates into the World Series. But that's a different topic from what I'm talking about. All I'm saying is, let's hold the two thoughts in our heads at the same time. Is the postseason fun? Sure. Betting is great too. But this can't be good long-term for baseball. This is not basketball or hockey where you have 81 games and they let everybody, you know, seemingly in the playoffs. It's 162. Like, at some point, if this keeps happening, people are just going to be like, why should I go to this game? Like, it doesn't matter until the postseason. Like, none of this matters at all. So anyway, just wanted to point that out. Do you have a bet on tonight's game between the Astros and the Phillies? It's Javier going up against Aaron Nola. Coin flip, or would you bet? I know you have one in pocket, but let's say you didn't have your Philly series bet. Would you make a bet on either the Phillies or Astros on the series? Phillies about -140 right now, Astros +120 on the comeback.
Before game three, I bet Nola, I bet Nola MVP 100-1, just in the event that he pitches well tonight and comes back potentially in a game six, you know, like a Bumgarner style role, or if it goes to seven and he's the starting pitcher in a game seven. I thought, you know, that was a potentially interesting way to play the Phillies at this point. But Bryce Harper is the clear front runner. With the postseason he's had, it's going to take an extraordinary pitching effort from one of the Philly starters down the stretch to probably take this from
Let me ask you this. Let's say I come to you from the future and I said, hey, the Astros came back. They won this series. After all, they're only down 2-1. Who's the Astro you would bet on right now or take a shot on for MVP?
Probably one of their hitters. Kyle Tucker leads the way. Not Altuve. I think they're going to try to do everything in their power not to give Altuve the MVP, unless they're forced to, you know, essentially.
Why do you say that about Altuve?
Because he's the face of the face cheating.
Face of the cheating, okay?
I mean, and whether he deserves it or not, it's, you know, whatever, but it's just matter of fact that it's a bad PR to put him on TV like that. Jordan Alvarez has been doing nothing, so probably Pena or Tucker. I think Tucker, you know, was the front runner early, and now down two games, it's, you know, not great. Framber also had a good start, so another good one would push him up. But I hope the Astros lose. I don't think anyone's rooting for them outside of the Houston metro area at this point.
I don't believe so, unless they've got an Astros ticket. By the way, I guess you're saying Altuve's the face because he ripped off his jersey and he had that, you know, underneath, I guess.
He's just the most prominent player left from that team. I don't think they want to reward him.
Okay, so no play on the game tonight, no play on the series is what you're saying, I guess.
I'd bet Phillies tonight, and if you don't have a Phillies future and you still want to get exposure, you could bet Bryce Harper to win MVP. It's a better number than the series price at this point.
What about week 9 in the NFL? What'd you bet?
Not much there either. Slow week for me. Football-wise, I don't think I have any NFL bets at this point in the week. Still pretty early, but I did not fire early on any NFL bets. I did bet Nick Gates to win comeback player of the year. I think that's the easiest bet I've seen all season.
Nick Gates to win comeback player of the year. You really think he has a shot at it?
I mean, his leg was backwards and he had 7 surgeries on a compound fracture. That's more impressive than anything that Geno Smith or Saquon Barkley's done, and the market's not reflecting that at this point.
Yeah, it's just so tough because, right, he's an offensive lineman, and you just wonder if those voters are thinking about an offensive lineman. I mean, everything you're saying is right, right?
Yeah, but remember, keep in mind when it comes to this market, the Associated Press Comeback Player of the Year, it's a 50-voter market, so it's much different. And if you look at the historical vote distributions, we've seen 49-1, and we've seen guys win with 16 first-place votes. So a lot of different ways to win this award, and I think it's just pretty obvious that the guy whose leg was backwards over about 400 days ago and is now a starting, or is going to be a starting offensive lineman is the guy.
Yeah, he's the most Alex Smith of anybody, right? 410 days. 7 surgeries between football games. So, yeah.
And coming back to play offensive line.
Exactly. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Go Phillies.
Steve Fezzik, Todd Wishnev, Weight Loss Challenge Resolution next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $99. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl, including our Pro Picks daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, Pro Tools like our exclusive betting splits, Pro Tips with actionable insights to up your betting game, deep dive daily betting reports on the NBA, NHL, and MLB playoffs, plus our upcoming college basketball, College Bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge. Why don't you visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your $99 midseason special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. The big news of the morning, of course, Daniel Snyder looks like he's pointed at Bank of America to try to sell the Washington football team. Please, dear, sweet Jesus, make it happen. It's the big news of the morning. The other big news is we have tracked a weight loss challenge bet throughout the entire summer between two-time Hilton Super Contest winner Steve Fezzik and our boy Megapod star and action docuseries, Showtime docuseries star action from action, Todd Wishnev. The weight loss challenge that they've had all summer long, and it has come to a head. A resolution has occurred. Let me welcome in Steve here in studio. Thanks for being here.
I was told there'd be donuts.
look how slim you are. Look how good you look.
All thanks to Todd. And well, I truly mean that I would be 220 today, at least, if not for Todd Wishnev. Thank you, Todd.
Do we have Todd yet, or are we waiting on Todd? Do we have Todd Wishnev? From his mom's cork attic, ladies and gentlemen, in Pittsburgh, PA, it is Todd Wishnev. Todd, how you doing? You good?
I'm doing great.
Okay, so Todd, I'm going to give you the honors here to, again, for those who are just landing on this for the first time, please tell us how this started, the parameters, and where we are now finally today.
So on April 30th, I had I was up to 305 pounds, 304.6 to be exact, even though I had been playing tennis over the last couple of years during the pandemic and really upset. And 12 days after that, I had done 12 really good days. I had gone back to a little plan that I had done years ago, and I'd lost about 12 to 15 pounds on May 11th. So I was down to 289. And at that point, I thought, oh, well, I've got a handle on this. I think I can really go for another big weight loss, because I've lost over 100 pounds four or five times now. I've lost track once. I lost 140. So I've done it before. So I called Steve, who I know loves to bet on things, and I said, I want to bet you that between May 11th and May 11th of next year, 2022 May 11th and 2023 May 11th, I can weigh less than you. Now, Steve is about a little over 6 feet tall and 227 on that day. I am 6'1" and 289 on that day, so 62 pounds difference. Obviously, the bet would have to be that I would deserve some sort of odds because I'm 62 pounds behind. We came up with 3-to-1 odds. I probably deserved more than that, but whatever. I wanted to make the bet just for the motivation. So we ended up betting 3,000 to win 9,000. I would win 9,000. Steve would win 3,000 if I could get below him at some point between May 11th of 2022 and May 11th of 2023. If I could not do that, he would win the 3,000. If I could, I would win the 9,000. Then a week or two later, we made a caveat that if we both got to 180, and obviously Steve would have had to beat me to 180, because if I would beat him to 180, the bet would have already been over. But if I could beat him, if he could beat me to 180, and then I also got to 180, the bet would be a tie as long as Steve stayed under 185 and, you know, for the rest of the year. You know, because if I would stay under 185, then he would again lose if he would go over 185. So that was the only caveat.
So how close did this get then?
So what ended up happening was, I lost massive amounts of weight, as I thought I was going to, eating 1,500 calories a day, three meals a day, 500 calories each, 1 p.m., 6 p.m., 10:30 p.m., and playing 2.5 hours of tennis a day. And I just kept dropping and dropping, and Steve would send me texts every day, oh, I'm still 45 pounds behind ahead, oh, I'm still 39 pounds ahead, oh, I'm still 30 pounds ahead. Steve was dropping too, though. Steve had started at 227, and he was going down as well. Finally, about a week or two ago, I was 193, he was 192. It was very, very, very close. In fact, I think I could have, had I just fasted for a day or two, I think I could have beat him. But at that point, Steve got, you know, he actually had stalled at around 200 for about a six-week period because he was injured. And then all of a sudden, he lit a fire under himself the last month or so, and he got down from 200 to 192. Anyways, finally, it was 193, 192, and then recently, about a day or two ago, it was 194, 187. And at that point, I just decided that, you know, I've been feeling listless kind of for the last couple of weeks because I think I'm getting too thin. You have to remember that I'm 194, 193, but I probably have 12 to 15 pounds of skin because I've been 340 before in my life, and I've lost over 100 pounds four or five times. So I'm really more like 180 right now in reality. So if I had to get all the way to 180, it'd be like getting to 165, and which that's just way too low for me. So we decided to call a truce and call it a tie, and everybody wins. I think Steve learned a lot about his body and how, you know, it all works. And you know, it was just a tremendously good motivational thing for me. And I want to thank Steve as well for making the bet to give me the motivation.
Both of you have inspired, I joked with both of you on text, you've inspired a nation, but truly you have inspired everybody who has listened to this, you know, throughout the summer. You've inspired people to lose weight. I know I did. Others have listened to the show. They keep tweeting in about how much they've lost. First of all, let's go to Steve here for a second. Everything that Todd is saying, accurate.
Very much so. And when he cut the lead to one, I had this mental note when I saw the text from Todd. He suddenly dropped 3 pounds. And in my background was Brent Musburger. You are looking live at Steve Fezzik blowing a 70-pound lead, and Fezzik wants to talk it over.
Do you both feel good about this resolution to it? In other words, Todd, do you feel that the regret of not fasting that day, do you wish you would have won? Steve, do you feel like, because Todd, you offered Steve an $8,000 cash out at one point, and Steve, you said no.
I was actually insulted by the low ball offer, and that coincided with my
ball.
That's it. I said, it's no longer about being healthy. It's about winning. And I said, I'm just not eating, and I'm gonna do two-a-days. I'm going to work out in the morning. I'm going to work out late at night. I was walking the hills of Seven Hills. I walked all seven of them. And the people, like, the security was pulling me over. Who's this crazy man at midnight walking in our neighborhood?
Okay, so do you both, about the bet itself, it sounds like you're both okay with the resolution then, that you're in a good place about it. Physically, Steve, you were saying, would you look better now, 5 pounds less off air? You were saying 5 pounds less or 5 pounds more. Your intention is to just get to the number so you can say you did, but then bounce back up 10 pounds?
Yeah, I want to ease down to 185.
Yeah.
And that way I take some photos and say, hey, this is what I look like at that level. But I think low 190s is probably the optimal weight for me.
You look great. And I was saying, if I hadn't met you before and I saw you like this, I think you look great. Maybe 5 pounds more would be even better. Todd, now I've said this to you and I'll say it out loud. The last couple Megapods, because I have the benefit of seeing Todd once a week, so it's a good barometer. You look great until the last couple, and I was like, I'm a little worried about Todd because he doesn't look his best. You are, as you just said, you're a weight fluctuator. You've done this 4 or 5 times. Will you promise? Now, let me just say this. I texted Todd. I go, so this is great, Todd. I go, I can't wait for your first cheat day because I want to be part of that where you just eat up a storm. And Todd says, oh, that's already happened. So we want to show on screen. Yesterday, Todd packed, this is unbelievable. Todd, you can't do
this. My stomach hurts so bad, by the way. At the end
Todd
of the day.
Ate,
I haven't eaten anything today.
Can we throw this up on the screen? Todd ate almost 8,000 calories of food yesterday alone. And I just want to ask you, pizza, chocolate chip cookies, like what was the food item where you're like, this is the greatest feeling on earth?
They were all amazing, obviously, but the Haagen-Dazs ice cream was incredible. It was all just fantastic. But what the best part of it is the freedom to just allow whatever you want. It's such a great feeling. And I know about this because from 2011 to 2014, I had a major weight loss, and I had gone on a program where I continued to do the program, and then I would have a cheat day every week, and I would have 5,000 calories, 8,000 calories, 7,000 calories, whatever I wanted, because I was continuing to do the program, and I wanted to just stay at equilibrium, because if I continue to eat healthy and exercise, I don't want to lose any more weight. So I had these excess calories for my cheat day. So anyways, yesterday was just one blowout.
Celebratory,
you know.
Celebration.
Yeah, that was just okay. A celebratory. I'm probably not going to be doing 8,000 calorie cheat
What
days
would the same game parlay have paid if you would have bet the strawberries over with the cauliflower over with the pizza over and the french fries over? You. That is a stack lineup if ever I saw one.
That's what we're sitting back here talking. I'm like, a cheat day? There's like 6 different foods on that list. So Todd, you promised us, like, this is just one. This is a one-off. What do you play? We got to go to break here. We'll talk a little bit more about this after. We'll get your NFL Week 9 picks, but what's your goal for a day now on calories?
Going to bump my calories up to 2,000 a day instead of 1,500
okay.
a day.
Okay.
And that would keep me at equilibrium.
Good.
And then any exercise I do will be going into my cheat day bank.
Okay. In your cheat day bank. Love that. Okay. Please don't gain 100 pounds. Thank you. I love that. We're coming back. More with Steve Fezzik and Todd Wishnev. Numbers Game Beast and the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly, as always, brought to you by BetMGM Nevada.
With promotions, as always, BetMGM, the king of sportsbook, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points so you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. Never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Steve Fezzik and Todd Wishnev join us for one more segment. We'll talk some NFL here, but I just want to wrap this up with a bow in the weight loss challenge. And I just want to say again, good on both of you. I know there's going to be some people out there like, oh, I can't believe you guys didn't have a winner. But in the end, you wanted to feel good. And the moment that you started not to feel good, you just said, this wasn't the point of this. And so while you guys are willing to bet on anything, clearly, that's the point of having this, is that, you know, when there's side bets in life, all of us who are bettors love a good side bet. This was an epic one. But in the end, you just cared about your health more. And
losing 111 pounds in 186 days is a big win,
yes,
regardless of how you look at it.
Yeah. And it was clear the resolution was I was going to hit 180. Todd was going to hit 180. It was going to be a push, but it was not going to have positive impact on our lives anymore. This was going to be a negative. But the real winner here is Todd. And I really – the fact he had a weight that began with a 3. Now it begins with a 1. And for all those –
incredible.
All those who are out there who feel like being fit, being, you know, a healthy weight is for the lucky and the strong and not for me or some of my friends, Todd is showing you can do it.
You can do it. And some people didn't believe he could even get past 250.
I got a text from someone who said you swindled that. Well, yeah. He used a derogatory word. Yeah. He said Todd Wishnev will never get out of the 250 regional. Go to the Wynn buffet and celebrate your $3,000.
Wouldn't be the first time Todd Wishnev was smarter than another person. That's for sure. Todd, you have a bet that you want to throw out for everybody? You're taking all comers?
I don't have any particular bet, but here's the thing. The only time that I've kept the weight off after a massive weight loss was that 2011-2014 run where I told you I kept going and did the cheat day system. It's very hard to keep weight off after you have massive weight loss. So I'm open to all bettors. You know, if somebody wants to bet me and there's a way we can do it to okay. The next 12 months that I have to stay below, you know, 210 or something or 205 or whatever, I'm open to all comers who are naysayers like the individual you just mentioned.
All right. I love the cash out option that you were offended by. Yeah, this is the whole thing. All right. Football. Steve Fezzik, ladies and gentlemen, began back-to-back Hilton Super Contest winner back in the day, who is willing to admit when he misses out on some stuff, including something that happened last week with the Eagles. What was that?
Yeah, it's actually this week, this Thursday night. So the Eagles are a great first half team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm embarrassed to say, last week I got it right. I laid 6.5 with the Eagles first half, and they were styling, and we cashed, and the Eagles are a great first half team. And I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and bet the Eagles first half this week. But I don't know. I got distracted, hadn't bet it yet. I wake up this morning, what's this? The Eagles have steamed against the Houston Texans. Shocker, the Texans can't stop the run. They can't stop one-dimensional Derrick Henry. How are they going to stop the Eagles? It's a fundamental mismatch. Money came on the Eagles. First half line, no longer 7, 7.5. And the story here is that when it's obvious, when there's a really obvious good bet, good story to be made, get to it first.
Get to it.
Don't just sit back, eat the Haagen-Dazs, have the three pizza slices, and think that bet's still going to be there. Because you know what? The difference between laying 7.5 on a first half and laying 7 is like the difference between shooting a bullet and throwing it. It's no longer any good.
Well, why don't we make that the pro tip of the hour?
I love that saying at the end. I've never heard before.
Repeat that again for everybody.
It's like shooting a bullet versus throwing it.
That's very good. Bet the obvious bet before everyone catches on to it. For example, the Eagles, they were -7 first half this week. They aren't anymore. It's your pro tip of the hour.
We do one every hour. That's at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Let me just ask you a follow-up question to this, because I know you're talking about the first half specifically. But you, obviously, no stranger to contest. You've won them twice at Hilton back in the day when it was called the Hilton Super Contest. So you got to come up with five picks this week. And everybody, you know, one of the big things that people talk about is, I never do a Thursday pick. I got to tell you, I've done Thursday a couple times this year already. And the reason for that is the pickings sometimes are so slim from my vantage point that it almost overrides whatever could happen in those next 2 days. Is this game, which is obviously a two-touchdown favorite, is this such a wide chasm in talent that you would consider putting in your picks early, putting one in on the Eagles? For all the reasons you said. You said perfect. One-dimensional Derrick Henry versus multi-dimensional Philly. How are they stopping them?
Yeah, no. And no. Here's why. I never put in my picks on Thursday because I love perfect information. I love being able to submit. Like Todd will say, hey, Todd and I have an entry. And he'll be like, I need to get my picks in at noon. And I'll tell him, ask me at 11:45. I want the most perfect information possible because, you know, Tannehill's not playing. I want that information. And on Thursday, I don't need to put it in my contest. But if I like a game, I can just bet it. You know, I can just profit because I feel a contest play is an implicit bet on that team already. So that's why I never take a bad number in the contest because I'm like, if you, I'll never lay 3.5 on a game and get my -3 off the board because I'll just bet at -3 off the board, and that's the way I'll get at it. And sometimes the number on the contest, it's not available on the board, and that's the best way to bet it by putting it into the contest. Todd, how are we doing in our entry? You put in our picks this week.
Oh, you guys have an entry together. That's right.
We have one of our basically the way we have it is. I have three entries. One of them is with one of them is a joint one with Steve, and one is Steve's. So, but it turns out those last two just end up being joint now because, anyways, we're 24-15-1 in the best one. One we have 22. The one that I'm doing myself is 22-16-2. So those are our best. Then the third one's not doing so great.
So okay, so let's take both those. So in a cut, by the way, 24-15-1. Let's use that one. Really good in real life, not so relevant at the moment in a contest, but plenty of runway.
But I would argue 60% is negative equity at this point in time. So, I mean, you're still in contention somewhat to get into the money, but it's so stacked towards the top five. If you said, at what level could I have win rate that I would take it right now? I think it'd be 64%. I think I need 64% to be neutral.
Let me ask you a question about that, because think about this. If the winner's going to be at 70 or 72%, somewhere in that range, I would think is probably where the winner will end up.
I'll take over for a max bet, 75%. Oh. 6,000 people.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's too many people. But
you could cash at 70%. No, you could cash something.
Yes. Well, it's all a Monte Carlo simulation of where you're going to finish and what your prize money will be. But cashing's irrelevant. It's just what your expectation is.
Okay, fair enough. So what I'm saying is, aren't any of the winning, like, top three guys going to have a 40-pick sequence where they're at 60% and the other part where they're 90%?
Yeah, but there's just too many of them. It's like the main event that someone Greg Raymer or that's probably a bad example, but Jamie Gold, better example, would just dodge raindrops for 7 days and get all the chips.
I used to say on podcast on a radio, like, is 60%, then you get to talk about your relevance in these contests. 60% now, it's quaint, that notion, right? There's just too many people in the pool for that to even
64,
be relevant.
64, 65, you got to be. Okay.
We only have 90 seconds here. What's the if you're willing to share, and thank you for bringing your power rankings. He came bearing gifts, Steve did today. As you look at the Week 9 slate, what do you think you like the most?
I'll give out two picks.
Okay.
I'll take the Washington Commodores.
Yes.
Plus the 3.5, or whatever they're calling themselves. Just a fade of the Vikings. I know the Vikings got better, but I've seen this movie before where Vikings have a good year, then they have to play on the road outdoors. They're just not that good of a team.
And what's the second one?
We'll go Monday Night Football. We'll take, we won't bet that here because it's 2.5, but we can get a 3 on the Saints, maybe pay a little extra vig. I think the Saints, a team that was supposed to win 9 games to start the season and started poorly, I think there's value. You can catch the 3 on Monday Night Football.
Boy, they're such a tough team to figure out, aren't they? I mean, but
just a little bit of variance with that team.
Just a little bit. Saints obviously taking on the Ravens on Monday Night Football. Todd, we'll save yours for the Megapod tomorrow. Did you want to give one here?
Yeah, I'll save my stuff for the Megapod tomorrow. I will just be banking calories for my first official cheat day, which will be on Sunday during those said football games.
Okay. Todd, go easy. Congratulations to you both. It's been fun tracking this. Steve Fezzik and Todd Wishnev. And Todd, what you did was awesome. And as you pointed out, what Todd did was even more just epic, from the threes to the ones. And Todd, we're all rooting for you to keep it off. And if it's required that a bet does that, then by all means, let's get you a bet going to keep it off. Thank you both. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Gil.
Steve Fezzik, Todd Wishnev, thanks to everybody else for being on the show. Good luck with all your bets, whether it's baseball, whether it's football. No tennis today. Again, that Pegula line got away from us, so no bet there. It's too high. Got it much much more favorable price yesterday. The Lombardi line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.